Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charters. Purdue picked up an offensive line commitment, the third of the class of 2022, first offensive lineman. We'll have more on him. Talk a little bit of football and basketball recruiting as well on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters here with Brian Uber, Tom Deanhart by in a couple of minutes. Brian, Purdue did get that commitment, Cross Watson over the weekend, at offensive lineman, without going into too much on him, because I know Tom talked to him last week. We can ask Tom about him here in a couple of minutes. In the transfer age, it's my opinion, and I would imagine that you share it, even though you disagree with me sometimes, that you still have to recruit young offensive linemen, and many of them, especially at Purdue, where you need some developmental time.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you still want to get the best players you can get in the high school ranks. You still want to develop guys and all that stuff. The transfer portal is going to, be your fail-safe every year, where that's where you go at your immediate needs, but you still need to have a balance on your roster, and you still need to do a good job getting high school kids in and kind of building them up. And like, I don't know if you're going to see the days of, you know, the five offensive linemen recruiting class, high school recruiting class. I don't know if those days are still going to, exist, but you're still going to take them every single year. You're still going to redshirt them, and you're still going to, get them in your strength and conditioning program and try to turn them into something more than they are when they come to you. And, that's just the way it's going to be. But you're also always going to be recruiting that guy who maybe can come in and help you right away, too, off the transfer portal. So I don't know a whole lot about Cross Watson, but he obviously came and worked out for Purdue, and they must have liked what they saw. And, this is a unique year, because this kid who shows up on your campus and works out for you, you might be the first person to see him work out. So if there's ever a year where you're going to steal a kid because he you got to see him before everyone else, this was it, because nobody's seen any of these players live. So not necessarily saying this kid is a steal, because I have no idea, but I'm saying the possibility exists that kids like this can be steals this year, much more so than most other years.
He does add to what is becoming an all-name recruiting class for the Boilermakers here in 2022, so I'm excited about that. We'll talk to Tom a little bit more about Cross Watson here in a couple of minutes, but I know your attention was mostly on Indiana All-Star Basketball over the weekend. The Indiana All-Stars played Kentucky twice. They played the juniors in a game as well. The big takeaway for me, just in reading what you had to say, looking at the box scores and watching a couple of highlights, is that Caleb First is pretty good. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he is. He always has been. He always will be. He is a very talented young man. He has a lot of skill to him. But the thing that sort of jumps out, he's not, a Vince Carter type of athlete, but he runs unlike any big man, I think Purdue has had, and at this stage of his career, and I'm not leaving out Juwan Johnson. He's really mobile for his size, but I think what, really kind of stands out about him, is that he plays really hard. His effort level is really consistent and really high. And, when you see a guy who goes out and every time he plays gets like 20-10, very little variance in his performance level, that's a direct reflection of his effort. Because, at least in terms of rebounding and to a certain extent scoring and whatnot, when you play really hard every time out, productivity tends to find effort. And, I think that's maybe the the best thing he's got going for him coming to college is that, A, he's really good, but, B, he plays really hard. And I think that sort of consistency is going to be a really important element for Purdue. I can't even say when he gets here because he's here now. So,
yeah.
But when he gets on the floor for Purdue, I guess I can say.
Is there any comparison at all to Hunter Dickinson in that, you know, this the way that they move for their size,
no.
both being somewhat polished players when they arrive at their school? No?
No.
Nothing there?
No. No. Hunter Dickinson is a 15-year NBA player, if you ask me. I think he's like an honorary Gasol. And that's probably a bit much. Dickinson's probably 3 inches taller than first. He's got a much
yeah.
more refined and much more mature back to the basket game. I think Caleb First is a really good passer, but I think Hunter Dickinson's an elite passer. And I think
yeah.
you know, I think they're going to be different. I think they're different players because I think Caleb First runs better. I think he's maybe a little bit more mobile. But I think Hunter Dickinson's an elite player, and I think much more of a true prototypical center than I think, you know, First might be at this point. Although I'm dead certain that Caleb First's best matchups are going to come at the five. He's just going to be a little bit of a different kind of five. I think over time, you know, Caleb First is going to be a good pick-and-pop jump shooter with three-point range. I think he's going to be a really nice passer for Purdue, the way they kind of use Travion Williams right now at the elbow, I think that he's going to be a really effective role man in pick and roll too because he moves his feet so well and he's got some quickness to him. I think he's going to be a really productive rebounder at the next level, even though he's not going to overpower very many people just because he plays so hard and he's so good at it. But I think that I think Hunter Dickinson's kind of a different strata from 99% of the centers in college basketball.
Yeah. Trey Kaufman-Wren was having a good week, and then officially a fractured hand that will keep him out?
It is a
here in the short term.
Fourth metatarsal, which looks like your ring finger. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV.
It doesn't sound like it'll be anything. I mean, you know, keep him out here for a few weeks, but maybe not much more than that.
Yeah, from a Purdue perspective, it's kind of a blip. You know, 3 weeks is nothing in the grand scheme of things when it's June. It's not like he hurt his knee 2 weeks before the season like Eric Hunter did, or he found a problem with his foot after one game like Jaden Ivey did last year. I mean, that was bad timing. But I think that from a Purdue perspective, these 3 weeks are, you know, can be sacrificed in the name of getting him healthy. It just stinks for him that he got hurt literally the night before he went to Purdue. What really stinks about it for him is he's going to miss the USA basketball tryout now, which could have been a really good experience for him or any player, and could have, you know, the thing about First and Trey Kaufman-Wren is they're going to have to, if they're going to make the sort of impact at Purdue I think they're capable of, they're going to have to acclimate pretty quickly to a higher level of competition. And I think off-season training with the Jaden Ivies of the world and Travion Williams, and presuming he's back, and Zach Edey and all that stuff, that'll take care of part of that. But I think them going to that USA basketball camp, and they would be no stranger to this. They've been to USA basketball events before. Would have been a positive experience because you would have had 20 other really high-level players there you would have been competing against. That could have set a nice competitive tone for their summers. It still will for First, and obviously it will for Jaden Ivey. Not that he necessarily needs it as much as the other two, but it would have been a really positive experience for Trey Kaufman-Wren, I think. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, this sort of thing happens literally the night before he leaves for Purdue.
Yeah. Brian Waddell as well, you know, he's the kind of player, I think, at this stage of his career that is going to get lost a little bit in an all-star event like this because he needs to redshirt, needs to gain strength. That you probably knew before this week and solidified after this week, right? But, I mean, nothing changes in terms of, you know, where the potential is there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he necessarily saw the potential as much during the All-Star games because he didn't get much of an opportunity. But his high school body of work is what he should be judged on, not what he did in All-Star games. And he's not – the projection Purdue holds for him is the sort of thing that might not necessarily show up anyway in an All-Star game because, you know, he was – explicitly recruited as a glue guy, as a role player type. And those guys get lost in the shuffle in All-Star basketball. Even though the Indiana All-Stars do practice together, they have a whole camp and whatnot, it's not like they're just rolling the ball out there and playing pickup games. But the kind of stuff Matt Painter sees in Brian Waddell is the sort of stuff that theoretically would come out after a year or two in the program, if not more than that. He's a guy who, you know, I don't want to make this comparison too much, but, you know, he's sort of a guy I think Painter sees a little bit of Grady Eifert in. Not in the same way directly in terms of the rebounding and all the stuff Grady Eifert did, but I just mean in terms of just being a guy who makes winning plays and makes people around him better, you know, things like that. So this was, you know, a direct statement about Matt Painter's approach to the transfer era, that he's going to keep trying to build teams, he's going to keep trying to develop players, and he's not going to, until he has to change, he's not going to do the whole I'm going to recruit transfers every year type of thing like a lot of the country's going to do. He could have let Brian Waddell go to Wright State, you know, hope, and then if Brian Waddell becomes the player, you know, Wright State theoretically would have expected him to be right away. Then nowadays the possibility always exists that he would hit the portal to move up. Now, I can't say for certain that's what Brian Waddell would have done, but a lot of players would. And if that were to happen, you know, Purdue would have been all over him, and Purdue probably would have gotten him. But Painter said he's going to do it himself. So this is the consummate sort of statement about Matt Painter's kind of approach to team building, and especially now in the transfer era. So he dedicated the scholarship to a guy who is definitely not going to play this year, who needs a lot of strength, a lot of size, and but has a lot of winning qualities about him that came out in his career at Carmel much more than they ever could have in the Indiana All-Star Series here. A guy who can make a shot, a guy who's a good passer, a guy who has a high basketball IQ, a guy who's competitive. He seems to try hard. You know, he's all of 6'7", and if he gets to 6'7", 200 pounds one day, I watched him in warm-ups the other night, effortlessly throwing down effortlessly dunking. Has a little bit of explosiveness to him from an athletic perspective, and, God, it's early in the morning for me. I was up till 3 a.m. last night writing that damn column. I don't know how to categorize dunks this morning. So he has a lot of stuff going for him physically, but he's got a lot of stuff going for him intangibly too. And it's just a matter of putting on 30 pounds as quickly as you can. It's going to be a big redshirt year for him. I mean, I don't think anybody can predict how he's going to pan out. Obviously, he's at his floor as a player right now as a college prospect. But you know, Matt Painter sees something in him that he wants to personally develop, and we shall see what he comes up with here in a year or so.
What are the category of dunks? There's like violent dunk, like two-handed throwdown,
like
360, windmill,
360 dunk. You go up in the air, you do a full revolution, and then you dunk the ball. That's what I was getting at.
Triple Lindy?
Triple Lindy. Excellent. Excellent back-to-school reference. So he was doing that pretty effortlessly, and he's got a little bit of bounce to him, and he's got a lot of length to him, and he's got a lot going for him as a prospect. And I say prospect more than I say player, because I don't think he's anywhere near what he's going to be in a couple of years here.
Speaking of the column that is on the site, goldenblack.com, people can read it there. But part of that was, you know, just you got a chance to see sort of the core of the future of Purdue. with the two juniors, Fletcher Lawyer and Braden Smith as well. Those two guys won't be all that long till they're here as well. But every time I read something about Lawyer, man, it's about how he can shoot the ball and score and just has a knack for pouring it in. Is that pretty accurate to what you see?
Yeah, he's a great jump shooter who makes every kind of jump shot, but he's also a really crafty scorer. I mean, he's kind of got like a sort of European game going for him. He really obviously is a guy who grew up around basketball and obviously took a lot from growing up around basketball. He's just really good. He's just a really good scorer. Now, how that's going to translate necessarily to the next level of jump shooting, Will, he's a guy who you're going to run a lot of stuff for, a guy who can make a lot of shots on the move, a guy who can make pull-ups, a guy who can make threes. Those guys have been successful at Purdue. He's going to have to get bigger and stronger, too. He's going to have to be able to, you know, carry his weight defensively. But he's going to make Purdue a better offensive team from day one. Because he's just a really skilled offensive player. And, you know, we always tend to lump these guys together, the white shooter, but he does have a lot more going for him offensively than just shooting. You know, kind of like Dakota Mathias, kind of like Ryan Klein, where they were really good with the ball in their hands. They were really good passers. They were really good decision makers. And I think he's going to be the same way. I just think that his challenge is going to lie on defense. His challenge is going to lie physically right away. But he's got a lot of time to work on that stuff. He's never going to be, you know, Ron Artest from a defensive perspective, but he might be Dakota Mathias from an offensive perspective. And Dakota Mathias won you a hell of a lot of games. So I just don't see any way around Fletcher Lawyer not being successful at Purdue from what I've seen, having seen him more than anyone, including all of the college coaches that will have recruited him, including Purdue.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's got some versatility to him. I think he can play point guard offensively. I think he can play the two. I think he can, you know, be that wing shooter too, who can play at the three, give you an extra ball handler and decision maker on the floor at all times. And I just think he's a really valuable player. All of those guys in that class that I wrote about this morning at 3 a.m., I've got to start doing that thing earlier in the day. got a lot of substance to them. They have a lot of intangibles to them. It's a really good core, I think, for teams to come. I think Purdue's got to put some horses around them. They need some athleticism. They need some scoring punch, and that's what they're working on getting now. But I think if you're rank and file on your teams here the next few years, are those five guys? And I shouldn't say rank and file, because I think Caleb First and Trey Kaufman Wren could both be really standout players. I think Fletcher Lawyer could really be a standout player. But if that's the substance your team is built around, those five guys right there, you're going to have some pretty good teams, provided you put around them, you know, some really good players too. If you keep getting Jaden Ivey's and Zach Eadie's and guys like that, and Trevion Williams's, you know, things like that, I think you have a chance to have something really good on your hands.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks, Brian.
No problem. See you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll bring Tom in. We'll talk a little bit more about Cross Watson and hit on some other football recruiting topics. We'll do that coming up next on Gold and Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. Instant Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chops, salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
And Kyle here with Tom to talk a little bit of football. Tom, you talked to Cross Watson, Purdue's latest football commitment, the third of the 2022 class, late last week or over the weekend, about sort of his expectations at Purdue. It sounds like he might have a little bit of versatility there, potentially playing either a tackle or a guard position.
Yeah, an interesting kid, Kyle. Portage Central High in the western part of the state of Michigan, a larger school, so it goes against some decent competition up there. Like you said, versatile enough to play guard or tackle, plays tackle in high school right now. He told me, Kyle, he does need to get a little bit bigger and stronger. He says he's about 6'4", maybe 260 or so. So obviously the kind of guy who's going to redshirt here. Smart kid. I know a lot of these kids say they want to study engineering, right? You wrote a million recruiting stories. But this is a kid I think may have a shot to do it. He says he's going to take AP calculus this coming year. He's not going to get to Purdue early. He's going to finish his senior year in Portage. But a good kid and a classic, I guess, if you will, line recruit is going to have to develop, which typically they all are, right?
Yeah, no doubt. It doesn't happen very often that you come in and play right away. I think we can count those over the last 20 years on one hand. Let's talk a little bit of portal, because we discussed running backs last week. Purdue still in pursuit of a running back, of course, but also looking toward the secondary once again. What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I know they're in pursuit of Jeremy Webb. Bigger cornerback, 6'1", 6'2", close to 200 pounds. Missouri State, of course, Bobby Petrino. They had a spring season this last year. It was his first in Springfield, Missouri. And the Bears did very well. Best season in 30 years, and Webb was a big part of that. Has a very very interesting career if you look up Jeremy Webb's resume, if you will. Bounced around a lot. But I will say this, again, he could be a guy that could come in and start right away. I'm going to try to talk to him today. He's got a slew of offers, but I think he is genuinely interested in Purdue. And, yeah, you know, I got word last week that one of their transfer portal additions, C.J. McWilliams from Florida, is not going to be on campus, not going to be part of the program because of an injury. It's likely going to end his career. So that, as you noted, you know, it creates some demand at cornerback to get somebody else in there to help. Of course, you have Jamari Brown from Kentucky already on campus, but I think they could use another cornerback for sure. And you talked about running back, you know, and who knows? I mean, Purdue's tried like the Dickens to land a couple of these guys. The good ones, as you can imagine, Kyle, there's a lot of competition. Purdue's going to continue to look. And I guess if nothing happens, sure they can get by with what they have on the roster. But we've talked about this in the past. I think Purdue's certainly – would behoove itself by adding at least one veteran running back to that mix.
Is there a perception out there that Purdue doesn't run the ball or doesn't want to run the ball? Because that's not actually really true, right? I mean, at Western Kentucky, Jeff Brohm had 1,000-yard rushers, or at least close to it, right? So it's not as if they just totally want to throw the ball, though they do want to push it down the field. You know, Purdue does want to run it some.
You know how perceptions go. Perception becomes reality, and I'm sure other schools say, you don't want to be a running back at Purdue. They're not going to hand the ball off much. They want to throw the ball downfield. So I'm sure some of that probably goes on in the recruiting process. But like you said, Purdue certainly uses its running backs. And honestly, with the way they throw the ball to their backs as well, that builds right into an NFL type of a skill set, right? I mean, you're going to run it, you're going to catch it, and the NFL really cherishes those backs that have that versatility, and you can develop a good skill set being a back at Purdue. So Yeah, we'll see. I thought maybe they could get a good one on the bounce here. And like I said, it's not over yet. They have until July 1st here. Got a couple of weeks, and we will see what happens. But, you know, as we stand right now, my friend, of course, Xander Horvath is back. King DeRue, they're bringing in Jaquez Cross, a true freshman from Arkansas who's a smaller, quicker back. And those are going to be your scholarship running backs. And like I said, they lost Dejon Hewitt. Tarek Murphy. So, again, it'd be nice to have, I guess, a veteran third, I guess, fourth running back on scholarship, if you will.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Tom, we're out of time. Thank you.
Be good, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that next on Golden Black Radio. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Golden Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, it will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. They work with top lenders and do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious about whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G, at jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Much more on the site at goldandblack.com, including football and basketball recruiting. Check that out today. All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. Back again next Monday with more. For Brian Newbert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Chargers. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.